The government shutdown is far-reaching, and we're taking a look at some of the ways it's affecting our communities. Tomorrow, we'll hear how it's affecting the agriculture sector and food inspections.
Today, we're going to talk about its effect on scientific research. Thousands of researchers have been furloughed around the country, and don't try visiting the National Science Foundation's website. It's offline until funding resumes. Here with us to talk about how science funding is being affected is Kenneth Rudinger. He's a PhD graduate student in the University of Wisconsin-Madison's physics department. He's a member of the American Physical Society. We saw a piece he wrote in the journal Sentinel titled Government Shutdown Threatens Scientific Research. Kenneth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you were worried before this shutdown about how it would affect research. How is it affecting scientific research in Wisconsin and around the country?
Oh, that's a great question. It's really having a pretty negative impact on research. I think there are a lot of good examples. So in Madison, there is the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, which is part of the university. And fortunately, it has enough funding at this point, even though there is a shutdown to run through December, but they outsource a lot of their lab work, such as complex DNA sequencing, which gets sent to a lab in California. Because of the shutdown, that has to go on hold until there are more funds in place. So that's one example. Another, the United States Geological Survey has a science center in Middleton, and they've stopped doing a lot of their data collection currently. This includes samples that they take to monitor water quality. So these are just a couple of sort of local examples. I think there are a lot of good examples nationwide as well. So if you consider NASA, for example, they've furloughed 97% of their workforce of 18,000. What does this mean? Well, this means a lot of different research projects are now on hold. There is a forthcoming NASA launch to Mars is in danger of losing its launch window. This is the MAVEN spacecraft, or Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution spacecraft. And the goal is to study the Martian atmosphere, understand why it's thin. This could have a fairly important impact for our understanding of climate, and you know, we may just lose that. Hopefully that doesn't happen. There's still some time left, but you know, that's another example. There are a lot of examples with the National Institute of Health, National Science Foundation, Center for Disease Control, Department of Energy, National Labs. I can give you more specifics if you're interested, but there's a whole bunch of different things.
Thinking back to my high school chemistry, it's really hard to stop and start experiments as you roll along.
Yes.
It might just sound to me like, oh, it's just a couple of days or a couple of weeks. Does this disrupt research for a long term?
Oh, yeah. This absolutely can have a profound disrupting effect because, you know, you spend all this time just getting ready to shut down the lab. Then you're not in the lab doing the research. And then when it's time to start up again, there's the additional cost of getting all of the machines back online, getting all of your samples prepared again. So it definitely has, as you mentioned, you know, there is a non-trivial sort of startup cost just to doing these projects.
So some people might be wondering, do we need this federally funded research in the first place? Are we really losing that much? Can you make the case for federal funding of scientific research?
That's a great question, and absolutely. So I think there are a lot of really excellent examples of technologies that we benefit from every day from that we have because of the federal investment in research. So, for example, magnetic resonance imaging, MRIs. We have those because of research that scientists did just studying fundamental properties of the atom several decades ago. We have GPS technology. We have because of special and general relativity, it turns out. And these are things that, you know, we don't think about when we say, well, we should study certain aspects of science. And sometimes there are applied projects that we have a specific goal in mind, and sometimes we don't. And it turns out that we can get really really great benefits from those. From those research projects as well, you know, beyond what we were expecting, there have been a lot of research. A lot of research has been done into the economic impact of scientific research, and depending on what economist you talk to, you get a number between 50% and 85% of the United States economic growth in the the latter half of the 20th century and now going into the 21st century comes from investment in scientific research.
Well, we don't know how long this shutdown is going to last. Days, weeks, I don't know. What do you see as the impact if these, if the scientific funding isn't there for a long period of time like that? What will the researchers you mentioned earlier be doing? How much will that affect their work?
That's a great question. That's going to, I think, really have, again, a very negative impact. So you're just going to have these research projects not getting done. What also is going to happen is grant proposals are not going to be reviewed. Right now, the National Science Foundation and the National Institute of Health, for example, are not reviewing or accepting grant proposals. So this means that there's money in the future that even people who are not federal employees themselves are not going to have access to for their research. This also has implications for hiring. When researchers want to hire graduate students or postdoctoral researchers, they need to know that there's some certainty in the funding so they can fund these researchers. This is particularly important for people who are not U.S. citizens, for whom, you know, if they can't get a job at a particular time in a particular lab, that this window of opportunity to have them come to the United States and have them contribute their knowledge and expertise to our scientific efforts may just be lost. So I think that these are, you know, really sort of profound impacts, and the longer it goes on, the worse off we will be.
You mentioned earlier the U.S. Geological Survey here in Wisconsin and the Great Lakes research that is being affected, and you mentioned there are some other examples you could get into. Can you give us a taste of what other specific kinds of research are off the table for today and maybe tomorrow too?
Sure, absolutely. So the National Institute of Health, they are currently not accepting any more patients for clinical trials. So this is, you know, to do a variety of different sorts of medical testing to try new treatments for a variety of diseases, you know, such as cancer. There are, I believe, about 200 people a week that normally would start clinical trials with the NIH. And they're just not going to be getting this treatment now. We're just not going to be learning about, you know, are these good drugs? Are these good treatments? Are these things that can improve our quality of life? Are these things that can save people's lives? We're just not going to find out, you know, indefinitely. Hopefully it will be a short indefinitely.
So the piece go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, continue.
The piece you wrote, I mentioned, was before the shutdown. We're in the middle of a shutdown now. If you had a chance to talk to folks in Congress, what would your message be for them on scientific funding and the shutdown?
I would just remind them of the profound impact that scientific funding has on all of us in terms of economic impact, in terms of quality of life, in terms of just expanding our horizons, expanding the breadth of our knowledge. And you know, I think I would give them these historical examples. I would ask them, you know, what could change your mind? What could convince you that scientific research is worth investing in? And you know, hopefully they would acknowledge at some point at some level there would be some benefits that we accrue from scientific research, and you know, hopefully I'd be able to convince them that. The way to do that is to fund scientific research.
All right, Kenneth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Kenneth Rudinger. He's a PhD graduate student at UW-Madison in the physics department. He's a member of the American Physical Society.